the most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
I want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax, not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny. Overdrive. We are putting the nitrous oxide into the NASCARs. Fire shooting out of them tailpipes. We're going from 1,500 horsepower to 2,500. Boom! Gonna break the sound barrier. And if you think having the biggest show ever in English-speaking media, which I had for at least 3 years, was big, nothing is gonna stop everything that's coming. It's like atomic testing, waking up Godzilla. That's what they've done. That which does not kill me only makes me stronger. So, I'm Godzilla, and your ass is Tokyo. Politically, lovingly, non-violently.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here. And you can watch The Alex Jones Show live on these platforms. On X at Real Alex Jones. And on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Or go to the website, alexjoneslive.com. And don't forget to download the number one news app in the world on Apple and Android. Alex Jones app. .com. Share the links now and tell everyone Alex Jones is back and he's not f***ing leaving.
They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They fail. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds, hear the broadcast, share the signal at alexjoneslive.com.
alexjoneslive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
The info war is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
alexjoneslive.com. We've only just begun to fight. Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
Introducing the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead. You're not just drinking tap water, you're showering in it, breathing the steam, and soaking your skin in it every day. When you take a hot shower, that hot water opens your pores and creates steam. That means chlorine, lead, and many other contaminants in your tap water can hit your skin, your hair, and the air you breathe inside your own bathroom. And unlike most shower filters on the market, this has independent third-party testing. SGS testing showed a 95%+ lead reduction using the system, over 99% chlorine removal, and many other chemicals. The system installs directly onto a standard shower head. It literally just takes seconds. No plumber, no tools, no modification to your plumbing. Regularly $139. Today you can get it for just $97.99. That's 30% off. VIP members of the AlexShipStore.com get it for as low as $69.99. That is beyond a steal. Secure yours now while supplies last at TheAlexShipStore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon, the 13th of July, 2026. Absolutely massive show we have for you today. I have no idea how I'm going to fit everything from this weekend into today's show. We have more developments about the Iran war, and yes, it's the same thing as ever, but even more so this time. And of course, the passing, the ascension into heaven of one Senator Lindsey Graham. I got to be honest, it wasn't until about 30 seconds ago and I heard the music going, we're about to go live, that I realized I haven't given a single instance of thought as to how I'm actually going to cover Lindsey Graham passing away. Normally, I would have some sort of strategy coming into this, what exactly I'm going to say, how I'm going to deliver what I think in a way that gets the message across and doesn't offend. I just haven't even thought about it, haven't even considered it once. I'll say this, I just, as a matter of principle, you gotta have principles, folks. I'll never celebrate the death of another living human being, especially not another, you know, fellow American like Lindsey Graham. All I can say is that the instant I learned that he was dead, I felt a profound sense of relief. I'm not saying that I wanted the guy dead. It's kind of like if you're driving in the car and you don't even really notice it, but there's like a styrofoam container squeaking. And it's just this like, nee, 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 nee. But then the moment it stops, you're like, oh my God, well, I didn't even realize like that was going on in the background. It's like there was just this constant, persistent threat that at any moment, on any day, Lindsey Graham might make a public statement and I would have to respond to it. And that threat just no longer exists. It's just not out there anymore. And it's just like you wake up and you step outside and what previously you're used to, just like construction noises and horns honking and people yelling at each other and such, just like birds chirping. You're just like, oh, the world is returning. Nature is flourishing. We're back. So that's how I felt about it. I don't know about you, but that's how I felt about it. Lindsey Graham, long-serving senator from South Carolina, has passed away from what? I guess that's still up for debate. Also, was Mitch McConnell a sleight of hand distraction from us? Like, this is so bizarre. We have apparently proof of life from Mitch McConnell, although people have questions about the photos he's posting, but he is literally posting pictures holding today's newspaper, like the joke I made last week about telling if he's alive. So apparently Mitch McConnell's alive, but Lindsey Graham is dead. An interesting development in all of this is the fact that, and you know, maybe I'm a little bit biased here, we're a long ways out from the original instance, but I have a distinct memory of President Donald J. Trump having a hard time mustering that much grief when his surrogate son, best friend Charlie Kirk, died. Weirdly, I genuinely feel like there's more emotion and I hear more of a tremble in Donald Trump's voice eulogizing Lindsey freaking Graham than I ever heard from Charlie Kirk. And I find this a little bit disturbing, considering the fact that we, maybe not so much anymore, but for a long time, wrote off so much of what Trump did or said as, you know, purely political. Well, you can't read into that. That's not how he actually feels, but he's got to play the game a little bit, and we all give him a little bit of leeway or grace for that. But there's something very disturbing about Donald Trump's lack of grief with Charlie Kirk, especially compared to his seemingly very real and sincere grief when warmonger-in-chief Lindsey Graham shows up dead. Let's go to clip number 32 here. This is Trump commenting on the death of Lindsey Graham.
Around the time, it couldn't have been much longer. It could have been his last call. I don't know exactly, but I got a message about 1 o'clock in the morning from one of the people at his office that he had passed away. I said, "You got it. I just can't believe it." He was like a member of the family to me. It's very tough, actually. It's amazing,
Mr. President.
He was such an advocate. He was, you know, if he wanted to get something, and you know, he had a unique ability. He was able to deal with Democrats and Republicans. If I had a problem, a real problem, I wouldn't often ask. But if I had a problem with a Democrat, he could work it out. He was a great politician, actually.
Well, he was a great politician. You could say that. We'll get back to Lindsey Graham in just a little bit, but obviously that was probably one of, if not the biggest story over the weekend. The questions about how he died, you know, we'll try to get to the bottom of, but we'll touch on that in just a little bit, in just a little while. Meanwhile, we have a lot of other news and videos to get to, including, I genuinely don't even know where to begin. What I've noticed to an even, you know, increasing degree, despite the fact that this has been a persistent issue for all of Trump's second administration, but for some reason this weekend really jumped out at me as I'm scrolling through, you know, because the weekend I've got all these bookmarks saved, I've got all these stories and videos, and I'm going through determining what I should actually present. And as I'm going through it, there are basically two sort of parallel stories going on. One is the story of the statistical and tangible collapse of America. And the other is everything America is doing for Israel. And again, I know, you know, not to beat a dead horse, that I've literally been talking about this since February 2025, when everything Donald Trump was doing was like, I like it. It's good. It's just, why is Israel getting so much attention? Why are we focusing on that a little bit? And shouldn't we prioritize American concerns? And that little hint of discomfort and worry has now grown and developed into a full-on fury, an obsession, you might say, of noticing, an obsession of noticing this stuff, because I'm not going out and looking for it, but it's absolutely everywhere. And I'm not kidding. It is kind of, it's really baffling. When you notice this dichotomy, when you actually see this, it becomes impossible to ignore. But story after story after story about major corporations laying off thousands of American workers in favor of H-1B visa hires, or the fact that as of today, home prices have reached their highest, most unachievable level of all time. House prices today are more out of reach for the average American than they've ever been before in all of history. And so whether it's the unemployment, the offshoring of our jobs, the growth of DSA and the absurdities and exploitation of socialism, it's just like story after story after story. Now, in a world that made even just a little bit of sense, when you have the story about how the left side of the aisle is destroying America, or how about the American people are being disadvantaged in some way, on the other side, the flip side of that coin would be that you have the Republicans in Congress desperately trying to do something about all of these problems, but you don't actually have that. You never have that. What you have is things like Marco Rubio deciding to declare war against the International Criminal Court because they noticed the genocide Israel is carrying out and felt like doing their jobs and issuing a ruling on that matter. And once again, this is like the best example. You can't possibly make an argument that this has anything to do with the American. It just does not have anything to do with the American people. It couldn't possibly. And there's no argument that it does. Why is this what we're doing? Why is going after the International Criminal Court the thing that we're prioritizing when you have an endless series of headlines about how every single part of America is getting significantly worse at an ever-increasing rate, and yet all of our effort, all of everything I have from the United States government over this weekend is like, we're back at war with Iran. We're going to go to war with the ICC over the, you know, in The Hague over there, trying to inject some semblance of humanity into the proceedings. You've got the bill to merge America and Israel moving ahead at a pace. So while America, the country, the nation, the people are collapsing into poverty and discrimination and violence, the American government is desperately trying to get the most advantage for Israel they possibly can. So let's just go through some political headlines, shall we? Fury erupts as Microsoft division fires 1,600 after thousands of foreign worker visas approved. A popular U.S.-based gaming brand owned by Microsoft is facing fury after mass employee layoffs occurred in the wake of the company being approved for thousands of foreign worker visas. Microsoft announced it will lay off 4,800 people total and 1,600 from the corporation's Xbox division, which makes and sells the dominant video game console. Meanwhile, Microsoft has been approved this year to hire from foreign countries 2,273 employer-sponsored non-immigrant workers under what is known as the H-1B visa program, according to data from the U.S. Citizens Immigration Services. So, you know, I frankly am just tired of, like, reporting on stories like this, which cannot possibly have any excuse other than just the deliberate selling out of America. Again, no argument for it, no way to frame this. Because this is treated as if there's like some sort of problem we have to solve. We have to come up with a solution for it. No. It's just people screwing us over. We just have to stop it. You just have to not have the H-1B program. It's just a scam. Again, this is sort of the frustration with all of this awareness all of a sudden about all the fraud that's taking place. All of it is fraud. All of it is fraud. I get a little spasm every time I hear I read the words adult daycare. I just kind of like twitch a little bit. You know, like, what is adult daycare, and why are we paying $20 billion for Somalis to provide it to other Somalis? Well, what does that mean? What is adult daycare? That's not a thing, but it is costing us $30 billion or something ridiculous. The whole thing is a scam. It's all fraud. It shouldn't exist, but it does. So kind of like I've said before about just like reading every day, it's like, well, the serial killer killed more people and we'll just report on it. His name's Jeff. He lives down the road. He's always covered in blood, but like we just aren't doing anything about it. It's kind of similar to that. It's just like, oh, imagine working in a place and just every day you have to report to your boss like, hey, you know, our coworker, Sarah, yeah, I saw her again taking wads of cash out of the cash register again. And they're just like, oh, what do we do? What are we going to do about this? How are we going to do? Okay. All right. Thanks for telling us. We'll get back to you. And then just nothing happens. And the next day you see Sarah shoveling wads of cash and you're just like, I guess I'll report this again. Nobody's doing anything to stop it. It's not like this is, we're just being robbed. Okay. So let's just report on how we're being robbed and never doing anything about it. It's crazy. But here's where it gets really. But here's where it, you take the insanity of just the fact that any of these programs exist. They can only ever possibly only thing they do. The only thing they're set up to do is to take jobs from the American people. That's the point. There's no other thing they could do. And then you look at who is the woman responsible for firing thousands of people and hiring thousands of her own co-ethnics. And the story gets so much crazier. A resume deep dive on Asha Sharma, architect of the layoffs for 3,200 Americans at Microsoft. This is from Jobs Now on X at Jobs Now PR. She was the VP at Facebook during their $14 million settlement for the DOJ for discriminating against Americans. She was then the COO at Instacart, who threatened to sue Jobs Now for exposing their blatant anti-American discriminatory job advertising. She's now the CEO of Microsoft Gaming, parent company of Blizzard, which was running ads following the same discriminatory playbook Facebook was sued for as recently as January 2026. Have we actually found the woman who's bringing hidden perm job discrimination across big tech? Yeah, I guess so. But she's now been hired by the Federal Reserve to be the head of a committee about hiring in America. I don't even know if you can call this failing up. I don't think she failed. I think this is what she's there to do. Fire Americans, hire Indians, job well done. Does the profitability go up? No. Do the products get better? Absolutely not. Quite the opposite. Everything gets significantly worse, but she gets promoted. The stock prices go up. More Americans go on welfare, and the cycle continues. I'll just keep reporting on this. I'm going to try to stop getting so frustrated because it's just the same thing over and over again. The same person keeps walking up to us, smiling in our face and kicking us in the shins. And for some reason, we cannot learn this lesson. We don't just stop him from doing it. We sit there and wonder why our shins hurt. It's crazy. It's crazy. Bipartisan housing bill becomes law despite Trump's refusal to sign it. President Trump said he would refuse to sign a housing bill without passage of voting legislation, but without veto, it will still become law. A major housing bill has automatically become law without Donald Trump's signature after the president said he would refuse to sign the legislation because Congress has not approved new restrictions on voting nationwide. The measure, known as 21st Century Road to Housing Act, is the biggest change to federal policy for buyers, renters, and home builders in decades, and Congress approved it with large margins last month after lengthy negotiations between Democrats and Republicans, but Trump tied the bill to the Save America Act, which would impose a host of new restrictions on voters and state election officials nationwide ahead of November's midterm elections, in which Republicans will be defending their majorities in the Senate and House of Representatives. A version of the Save America Act passed the House in February, but is opposed by Senate Democrats and lacks the vote in that chamber to overcome the filibuster. So last month, Trump canceled a signing ceremony for the housing bill, denying his Republican allies an opportunity to publicly highlight their efforts to address housing affordability, which surveys indicate is a top concern amongst voters. But we saw literally last week there was a giant comprehensive nationwide economic study that shows that the vast majority of the rise in house prices is attributable directly to the rise in population from the immigration that's happened. So that's the solution. When massive immigration causes the house prices to go up, if you're trying to lower house prices, you need to deport those immigrants. It is not complicated. What we don't need is a giant housing bill to get government subsidies to pay for Section 8 housing in, you know, fancy neighborhoods so we can actually provide housing to the very immigrants who are driving up the house pricing. This is all nonsense and absurd. And Section 8 housing and the things featured in this housing bill are in their own right directly responsible for the rise of house prices overall, because it's literally just subsidizing house price. Like, it's just subsidizing the amount people can pay. So where landlords might otherwise have to lower rent in order to get customers, they can just charge whatever they want and pass the expenses off to the government. So what are we doing here? After laying off 3,200 employees, Xbox CEO joins the Fed's jobs task force. Just 3 days after this woman, Sharma, cut 3,200 Microsoft gaming jobs, the Fed named her as co-lead of its AI and employment policy task force. I think they're sending us a message, folks. I think this was a message directly to us, because for several days, people had been commenting angrily about how this Indian woman very clearly just jumps from CEO executive big tech job to big tech executive job. And everywhere she goes, she fires thousands of Americans, hires thousands of Indians, and then just moves on to the next place. For days and days, people have been talking about this, complaining about this, pointing out that this was a systematic dismantling and wholesale exploitation of our entire economic system. And only after days of talking about this did the Fed come out and decide to say, oh, that woman that you're all complaining is just clearly an enemy agent selling out your birthright and destroying you economically. We're putting her on the board of AI and productivity development moving forward. So that's when they spit on you after leaving you for dead, right? It's like they've already destroyed us. Now they're just rubbing salt in the wound. 3 days after announcing the mass layoff in the video game, the largest mass layoff in the video game industry this year, Xbox CEO Asha Sharma got a new title, co-lead of the Federal Reserve's Task Force on Productivity and Jobs. Sharma announced 3,200 job cuts across Microsoft Gaming Division on July 6th, 2026. The Fed named her for the task force on July 9th. She is the only sitting CEO named to any of the Fed's five new external task force and will help shape how the central bank thinks about artificial intelligence and employment for the next decade. So don't worry, folks, if you thought the backlash to wokeness would result in some mitigation or moderation of the violent anti-white hiring practices of big corporations, not if the Fed has anything to say about it. Not if the money printers have their way. They're very clear about what they desire. Then you've got stuff like this. And we reported on this a little bit before when the new mayor of Seattle made a similar statement, but it's now being confirmed officially. Washington state officials declined to investigate empty daycares for potential fraud. Washington state officials are refusing to investigate daycare providers that reportedly receive hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxpayer subsidies after reporters found little evidence that children were being cared for at some of their locations. According to a report from the Center Square, over the past 6 months, its reporters visited roughly 36 daycare providers that had received large state and federal subsidy payments intended to support childcare for lower-income families, but only a small number appeared to have children present. And basically, state officials have resisted calls for a broader crackdown. Attorney General Nick Brown previously demonized the journalists for investigating the allegations, saying in December, showing up on someone's porch, threatening or harassing them isn't an investigation, neither is filming minors who may be in the home. This is unsafe and potentially dangerous behavior. And so, yeah, you've got $37 million of questionable child care subsidy payments made through DCYF using federal funds. The audit found weaknesses in prepayment controls, though it did not confirm fraud because it didn't investigate fraud. And like I said, the mayor of Seattle openly said, we will not be investigating, you know, daycare fraud, which, call me crazy, I might move to Washington State and open up a daycare. I mean, you're telling me that you can receive hundreds of thousands of dollars from the federal government, and when reports of fraud through this system are reported, the government's response is to say, how dare you? We will not be investigating that fraud. That it doesn't matter how many millions are stolen. It doesn't matter how obviously fraudulent the application is. We will continue to deliver pallets of cash to these criminals. Like, okay, you got to do it then. I got it. We got to do it. You're an idiot if you're not bilking this system for all the money you're worth or all the money they're worth. Like, this is genuinely like, yeah, okay, I would make a dig. If I lived in Washington State today, I'd be using AI and I'd be going, how did these criminals, get these fraudulent funds? And I'll go, oh, well, they've applied for this and they got this grant and they did this. And I would just do that. I would just start receiving checks. And if they ever want to bust me, I mean, we have their statement saying we're not going to investigate this. I don't know. They're apparently not going to investigate it. I am a cis white male. You don't think I could find a Nigerian guy as a front man? You don't think I could find a Asian woman to pretend to be the president of my daycare? Folks, Americans haven't even tried to scam the system because we like the system and it operates. But man, once some Americans get involved in this fraud, you're going to see things you've never seen before. But seriously, this is, I mean, what are you supposed to do about this other than overthrow your system and put all these criminals in prison forever?
And a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting ships and the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health. What it's done is absolutely insane. GetMasterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, GetMasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to GetMasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. GetMasterpiece.com.
Folks, AlexJonesLive.com, that's URL to share around, let everybody know where the news is happening. We got a lot of more diversity news to get into. Let's go to clip number 7 here, where once again, yet another gigantic H-1B visa fraud ring has been discovered, as if it's all, not all absolutely all of it is fraud. All of it is fraud. All of it. It shouldn't exist. This is the frustration when they're like, don't worry, guys, we're launching a probe to investigate the H-1B. I don't want the H-1B visa program probed, investigated, limited, altered. I want it gutted and eliminated. Let me rephrase that. For the survival of America, it must be gutted and eliminated. And there's no argument against that. There really isn't. And if companies are so desperate for foreign workers that they cannot survive without them, then they can go to other countries. They cannot be a part of our market because they're just selling us out and exploiting us, and it's happening absolutely everywhere, an incredibly rapid clip. And so the fraud is just on top of everything else. This is like a fraudulent charity, right? There's a charity that claims to be collecting money for orphans, but there are no orphans. They just keep the money. You fall for this. You give them money thinking you're being charitable. They pocket that money, but then they take your credit card number and they run up a bunch of charges for other stuff. It's fraud on top of fraud. The original giving of the money is already on fraudulent precepts. It's already being made on fraudulent promises. Then they overcharge you by a couple tens of billions of dollars. How Trump can fix the H-1B visa system? No, you can't. It's not for Americans. It shouldn't exist. But the corporations like it. Here's yet another example of yet another massive fraud ring from H-1B visas. Let's watch.
The holders since 2015. Over 70% came from India and nearly 12% from China. And when you zoom in on this map you're looking at, you can see where most are being hired. The dark red spots show a high density of H-1B visa holders. And now we're learning more about the fraud within the program. One former official tells Newsweek that up to 90% of applications, 90% from India, contain fraudulent documents or involve unqualified applicants. And finance law enforcement in India claim it has uncovered a network of universities that produce fake degrees, which were possibly used to obtain these high-skilled H-1B visas, including one school which allegedly stole over 36,000 fake degrees, sold, I should say. It cost as little as $1,400 for one of those. And while these are supposed to be high-skilled employees, during almost all of Biden's time in office, 83% got junior or entry-level positions. And now Texas is taking action, cracking down on those abusing the program.
Shouldn't be a program. The program shouldn't exist. This is ridiculous. So, yeah, I don't, you know, the whole map should be white. You know, no pun intended, but for real, though. But obviously you wouldn't have this program if you actually wanted what's best for America. Like, that's it. That's the ultimate conclusion. Just if you wanted what was best for America, you would have never made this program. You would have never created this. And once again, you know, you take something that, okay, maybe there was like a problem one time that, you know, our laws sort of made worse. And so it's like, okay, well, we'll make a little change. You know, in World War II, when the Jews were being slaughtered by the Germans and wanted to escape, and we were like, well, you know, if we had to go through the normal process, you'd all die. So I guess, all right, we'll have this thing we call asylum where, all right, we're not totally undoing our immigration program, but we'll give you some leeway. You can come here and hang out for a little bit while we process you. That seems like a pretty good solution. Fast forward 80 years, and it's everyone with a cell phone in Mexico is an asylum seeker that must get admission to America and welfare on top of it. It's like, this is absurd. 14th Amendment, exactly the same thing. Well, we have this law that says only white guys can be naturalized, but there are some people that are obviously equal citizens with everybody else. And, you know, maybe we can do a little carve out for them. We've got all these slaves that, you know, they were born before they were citizens. So, you know, what do we do with that? All right, well, their children, let's just make their children citizens. That's an easy sort of patch over this, you know, unique and, you know, unusual circumstance. We'll have to make up. We'll do something called the 14th Amendment. Fast forward 100 years. And Mexicans are literally running like birth tourism. So you can just get an American citizenship for $200 plus the flight of your cost of your flight. H-1B, kind of the same thing, right? The only, like, it was created for the unique and extraordinary circumstance where like every single engineer in America had been hired, where a company was trying to hire people in America, and the fact that we didn't have enough people to hire would have been a barrier to their continuing existence or continuing development, right? For the sake of America having the best technology, for our, you know, industry to outcompete the rest of the world, then you know, it's a problem if we're not producing enough engineers and companies are sitting there going, we could be creating great stuff. We just don't have the manpower to do it. Okay, fine. We have the shortage. Until we can create more engineers, till we can get more people through the system, we'll bring in some scab labor to you know, help you not have to shrink in size in the meantime. Suddenly that has become, you are now incentivized to fire American workers, hire H-1B visas, and just sell out the American people, destroy the American middle class, cripple the American economy, and benefit your own ethnic cohort and their well-publicized and now like widely acknowledged plot for world domination through demographic overwhelming. Like, yeah, I don't, you know, it's not that complicated. It's not all that complicated, actually. These things just shouldn't exist. Whether they needed to exist when they were created is not actually relevant, because the time that they were created and the situation for which they were established no longer exists. They are being abused to the point of unrecognizability. These are not the programs they were intended to be. We do not have to keep them going. This is the other thing. To expand on the metaphor I said earlier, this is like you give your credit card to a fraudulent charity. So already, well, you say you want to give them $20, they take the $20. There was nothing, you know, they didn't steal it from you, but they gained it on fraudulent premises. So that's theft. They stole that from you. Then they run up the credit card for hundreds and hundreds of dollars of stuff that you never told them they could have. And then it's like, you're just like tearing your hair out. Like, what do I do? It's like, cancel the card. What are you talking about? And it's like every week you come back, you're like, you know, they're still spending money on that card. And I'm like, cancel the card. What do you? Why do you allow the card to still operate? You're still paying the credit card bill for the credit card that was stolen and is being used by scammers. Cancel the card. I'm not going to talk to you about this anymore. I don't want to hear your sob story about how they spent more money on the card that you could cancel at any moment and just don't. Just cancel the card. Just cancel the program. Not that complicated. Meanwhile, our attempts to actually do some level of deportations are failing, apparently. ICE agents shoot driver trying to hit officer with car in Maine. A person has died following a shooting in Maine that involved Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The incident took place on Monday morning near Poole Street in Biddeford. A witness to the shooting said that he saw the person who was driving try to hit the police officer with a car, try to hit the ICE officer with a car. Authorities have also said the person who was shot by agents was driving at the federal officers when the incident occurred, per the New York Post. According to House Speaker Ryan Fechtow, a Democrat, this morning a shooting occurred in Biddeford. A person was killed. ICE was involved. State police and Department of Public Safety are now on the scene to gather details and would expect the FBI to investigate as well. These are the details I have at this time. I'll provide other updates as they're related to me. Another witness of the shooting named Lucas Scott told Portland Press Herald that he saw an ICE agent get out of an unmarked vehicle and then saw the ICE agent draw his weapon. At that moment, while yelling at the driver of a vehicle, the ICE agent shot at the driver who was, quote, trying to hit the ICE officer with the vehicle, Lucas recounted. He said that the agent fired four shots. The man who was shot has been identified as a Colombian migrant, but his name has not been immediately released. Footage of the incident has emerged showing the vehicle going in circles with the ICE agent following alongside the vehicle yelling. It is not clear if the footage was taken before or after the shots were fired. Okay, so you don't want to get shot by ICE. You better go home. All right. I think the main takeaway here is for all immigrants, you are in danger. Okay. I'm not saying you should be. I'm not saying it's a good thing you're in danger. You just clearly are. Okay. It's best to avoid all possibility of getting caught. You better go home now where nobody will be hunting you down. Go back to your home countries where ICE will no longer care about you or have any reason to try to get you at all. Okay? Go home. You need to go home now. I don't feel that bad, to be honest with you. And I'm not exactly surprised that vehicle ramming attacks have, no pun intended, ramped up recently. Because it's a strategy deliberately being taught to ICE protesters and illegal immigrants by well-publicized coalitions of leftist subversives who are training people to disobey our laws and stay in our country illegally. I still don't understand why we're doing it this way. There, just look, if it was me and you told me you have the federal government's resources to deport illegal immigrants, I swear to you, I don't even think I would need 100 agents. I think it would be so. I think you just use pressure. You use, warfare tactics. You isolate a neighborhood. You cordon it off. You move in. Problem solved. Like this, it's this one off. We're literally running around like chasing them in the streets and like trying to grab them like Tom and Jerry. This is so absurd. Why do you think the deportations are like 1/10 the level that they need to be at just to get back to status quo 2020? Because we're doing it in this retarded, disconnected, discombobulated, structured way that's also not being publicized, when the publicity is a motivating factor for people leaving the country and self-deporting. I don't want people killed, but I do want people with the fear of ICE in their hearts. I do want every legal immigrant to be looking over their shoulder at every single moment, knowing that at any moment they could be met with an overwhelming force. Not like, oh, they're going to have to fight or like they're going to have to run away. Like that's not even an option. That like everybody who tries that, it ends up way worse for them. So just go home. Just go home. But instead, we got to deal with this. So it's just infuriating. Congresswoman Shelley Pingtree posted a reaction to the shooting and said, I'm aware of reports that somebody was fatally shot and ICE may be involved. We'll share this information. We'll share more information as we get it. Meanwhile, something we told you about a while ago is finally coming to fruition. Charlottesville's Lee statue has now been melted down, transformed into a racial diversity monument. The statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee was at the heart of the Charlottesville protest in 2017, followed by the Unite the Right rally where Heather Heyer was killed. The rally was funded in part by the SPLC, which paid for so-called informants to travel to the rally and encourage white nationalists to go fundraise off it when it was over. The statue was melted down, and the metal will now be repurposed by the Boston firm Model of Architecture Serving Society to create something the Washington Post is calling a monument to racial diversity. This is the same firm that created the Embrace, which was meant to symbolize Coretta Scott and Martin Luther King Jr., but instead looks like an incredibly lewd statue from many different angles. The same firm that brought that atrocity to life will be creating a monument to a concept as vague as racial diversity. They were chosen after a design competition that lasted months. The firm's winning idea was to turn the metal into an African tree. They call the thing Rooted, and it's unclear why they're planting an African tree in Charlottesville instead of something that's more representative of American, quote-unquote, racial diversity. Because racial diversity is an obvious and blatant lie. This is not complicated. They just hate white people. This is just an attack on white people. They are simply taking a symbol of white people, destroying it, and turning it into a symbol of black people. It's not that complicated. It's not that sophisticated. You don't need a real, nuanced reading of their motivations here. Gee, why did they take down the statue of a beloved Confederate general and put up a statue of African trees? What does that even mean? Who knows? Who could possibly say? It's just racial supremacy, anti-white hatred, and a destruction of history so they can rewrite history into something it never was. It's not that, it's just a humiliation ritual. You understand that? Again, it's really not complicated at all. Now, this was a story, I'm pretty sure Alex covered it extensively last week. I never got around to it, but I probably should have. But it was several viral videos on a week's time in Texas of people being arrested for their speech. Being arrested because they were saying things that, potentially could be offensive to Muslims or whatever. Well, Texas police admit officer made inaccurate First Amendment remarks after a preacher was cited at a pride event. A viral video showed Fort Worth officers telling a Christian preacher that offensive speech could be ticketed. The Five discussed this on Fox News. The Fort Worth Police Department acknowledged that an officer made certain statements that were not accurate during a viral encounter last month with a street preacher outside of a Pride festival, while maintaining that the citation he received stemmed from the use of a bullhorn that allegedly violated the city's noise ordinance, not the content of the preacher's speech. Oh, I'm sure. We got it. We got to stop. We got to stop letting people get away with stuff like this. It was obviously not about the noise level, like just stop. But you can always do that, right? You can let everybody break the noise ordinance, but you can only apply it to the Christian preacher, and you can look at it and go, well, technically he was over the ordinance, but that's just obviously not the reason you're charging him. The question I would have is, why did the police think that this was something that they were allowed to do? Like, I don't think the cop just made this up himself. We probably should have brought in the video, but, you know, in the video, he's like, ah, it's a gray area. A video posted on X on July 8th by Rich Pinkowski, who identifies himself on social media as a Christian street preacher, said, Fort Worth police officer says calling a biological male a male is a gray area, and that could be citable at some point. And then he said he can't do anything about half-naked men running around children at Pride. In the video, a male Fort Worth officer said calling a biological male sir is a gray area, and he would potentially ticket people for offensive language. Another female officer said, quote, if somebody is offended by your talking, then we have a problem. Who is training the police officers to think like this? Where are they getting these ideas? Because that they're not coming up with them themselves. They're being trained to treat this in this way. And this, of course, is the downstream inevitable consequence of the absurd language policing that really first got going in a strong way following Donald Trump's appearance on the political stage. But it was always this nebulous kind of chain of events where it was like, well, if you say this thing, then really you're promoting this idea, which these people have committed violence on. So in a way, you're saying things actually is violence. Fort Worth police exposed for violating the First Amendment. So it appears as though that mindset, which we tried desperately to elucidate and argue against while it was first being formulated in the minds of the American masses, has now been firmly implanted in our institutions. And you have police officers sort of adopting this, whether they even realize it or not, and going, well, you know, we would never arrest anybody for speech. Obviously, we have the First Amendment. That's our sacred right. Free speech is the bedrock of American civilization. But if you're causing problems, you know, we're here to stop violence. And if you're saying things that are making people so angry that they're attacking you, then, you know, maybe it's you that's, you know, if we follow the chain of events, you're the one who initiated it, actually. So this is not, this is yet another one of these things, whether it's the flock cameras or the Israeli stuff. I mean, all of it is like, we have to now tear this apart, right? We have to approach this in the same way that lefties approach violations of their worldview. Again, I'll bring up the best example, the perfect example that I always talk about, Loudoun County. So just take an instance where, like, oh, this one teacher in this one school did one lesson that offended one student. What happened? What happened as a consequence of that? Did they say, you know, the school admitted it was a little bit offensive and, you know, they won't do it again? And that was the end of it? No. Everybody descended on Loudoun and demanded that the school district do an entire evaluation, audit every single classroom, and create a new office that will be staffed with one of the NAACP operators. You know, one of their agents will now have an official position in the school district to guarantee that everything comports with their worldview. That's the strategy we need to have. When you have multiple officers from the same police department all saying that, you know, speech is a gray area, you know, it might not be illegal for you to say that, but I may be able to cite you for disturbing the peace for saying that. This is an issue. This is a problem. This is not something that we can simply get them to admit is wrong and then say, okay, you've learned your lesson. No, they have to learn their lesson. These police officers have to be fired. The police department has to come out and explain why they thought this was the case. Their leadership has to be removed from his position. And somebody else who understands the First Amendment needs to take their place. We need to stop being okay with being abused. We need to stop being okay with the incremental destruction of our rights. We need to stop being okay with when the tyrants get caught and apologize, saying it's okay, just don't do it again. They need to be punished. These police officers need to be punished, and the investigation needs to start. Like, we need to have the Congress of Texas launch an investigation, bring these people in, question them under oath. Who told you that? Who told you you were supposed to go out and arrest people for offensive speech? Where did you get that information? Who is training you? Where did this training come from? Who's providing the funding for the training? This every single time something like this happens, it's treated as the end of the event. Because there's always a process, right? It's always a, well, that never happened. We never did that. Well, we maybe did that, but it was a unique situation, and this doesn't fit. I mean, you can look at what happened in the UK recently with the, I can't remember what video it was. It was another one like Henry Novak of, you know, a white guy being attacked and the police officer. That's what it was. It was the white kid getting attacked by a group of non-white people and the officers running up and slamming the kid into the wall. And, you know, first they were like, yeah, an event happened and it was all totally kosher. It was all good. You know, we handled it. And then the video came out and they were like, well, you shouldn't watch that video. And the video doesn't tell the whole story. So actually, we did do things right and stop being an extremist. And then enough public pressure, eventually they said, okay, all right, it turns out that they may have, you know, the police officers may have acted incorrectly and we're going to have a talking to. And then it's like, okay, whew, they admitted it. See, we won. See, we were right. Morally, we were correct. And it's like nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. The same thing's going to happen again immediately because nothing has changed, because no punishment has been leveled. No incentives have been altered. No humiliation for the people that did it to serve as a warning for anybody else into the future. We've got to stop treating the admission as if that's the end of the process. That should be, if anything, really the initiation of the process. Okay, so you admit that your officers just came upon a scene of a man being beaten by strangers and you immediately joined in on the beating and then arrested the victim and then lied to us all about it. You just admitted that you did all of that and you expect that to be the end of it? Nobody's going to hold themselves to account, folks. These police officers are not going to hold themselves to account. We have to. We have to have some sort of, if not law, at least major popular motivation to impose something like attempted tyranny. This is a violation of the law against attempted tyranny. Did they actually arrest the guy for his speech? No, but they will. They will do that next if you don't stop them. We'll be back on the other side with hour two. I think we'll start with a 5-minute video from Jay Dyer, who was on Tucker Carlson earlier today, because we're moving on up, folks. It's a big thing.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.